All right. Hey, Jenny, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Sorry.
Awesome. No, thank you so much for taking some time to join us. Let's see if we can get you situated there. All right, awesome. Well, Denny, congratulations on your first win as a team owner. You also headed into this weekend kind of in a better spot than most of the other playoff drivers with your win at Vegas. So can you just talk about your emotion right now and just how you're feeling and what the talk was like with Bubba?
I mean, emotion's obviously super high. I didn't realize, you know, it'd be this high at this moment, but you know, I understand the process in which it takes to get to this point and winning in NASCAR's highest level. It just, you know, I'm in every meeting, I'm hands-on with the team. I know how hard they work and, you know, I certainly am more emotional, more happy, you know, with someone else's victory than mine on this day.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take some questions from the media for Denny. If you have them, please raise your hand. And let's kick things off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Denny, what do you think this win means for the sport? You've been all in all these meetings with sponsors who, you know, specifically wanted Bubba. What do you think this means, and especially with it coming here at Talladega?
Well, I mean, again, there are so many dots that are crossing and you know, makes this win more special. I mean, it's just, there's something about it's Talladega, it's his home state, everything that happened at Talladega last year, things that, you know, Bubba didn't ask to happen, but, you know, he had to go through it and, you know, a lot of the pushback and things that happened afterwards in the aftermath. And then we have McDonald's, who's been part, you know, a big part of our sport for many, many years, decades, and they haven't won in decades, and to have them in victory lane as one of the founding partners of 2311, it's just, you know, Toyota. I mean, they're supporting my crazy dreams. I mean, that's what's nuts about this is that, you know, there's been so many different partners that believed in my vision and my dreams that help finance this thing that, like, I just can't believe that it's all come together and you know, we got to win.
Thank you.
All right. And if you haven't seen yet, we are also joined by our race winning crew chief, Booty Barker. And it is also a historic day for him as well, getting his first victory at the Cup Series crew chief. So congratulations and thank you for taking some time with us, the both of you. We will get into our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congratulations, guys. For Denny, obviously, there'll be a lot of talk about how this race ended, but you have raced many times with Bubba, even before he joined 2311 in super speedway races. Could you talk a little bit about what kind of racer he has, and shouldn't really be thought of as a surprise?
Well, I mean, just look at the results, right? I mean, he's up, you know, a lot of times he got into incidents, but a lot of times he was up front when he got into them. So it's like, you know, he's just got a knack for it. And I think he just needed to refine it. And we had those discussions of how he could get better with it. And he made some big changes from Daytona 1 and Talladega 1 to Daytona 2. And I mentioned to him this week, I was like, that's the right way to do it. Like, that's how you maintain your track position up front. You know, that's how you work the lanes. I just seen a transition with him and his willingness to take in information and apply it. And so I think this is not going to be the last time you're going to hear about his name on a super speedway. It's just, he's very, very gifted at him. He has very, very good instincts. But like, you know, early on in his career, most, you know, early 20-year-olds or mid 20-year-olds, he gets excited at times. And so how can you regulate that to not get too high, not to get too low when things don't pan out exactly how you want? And I think he's working on that tremendously. And this is obviously going to go a long way with him emotionally and for his self-confidence.
And along those lines, any time a driver goes to a new team, and particularly in Bubba's case, he's had a lot of weight on his shoulders. Up until this point, how do you feel like he's handled this season in general?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an eye-opening experience for him, I'm sure. I mean, it's probably a better question for him, but you know, we're at the race team, we're trying to provide him the best race cars that we can possibly provide him. You know, I walk from my shop to my other shop, and the cars are the same. And, you know, I make sure that, you know, if those guys feel like they need anything, any part piece to go faster, I go out and I get it. And that's the attitude that Joe Gibbs has always taught me, that it'll drive you broke if you don't, if you don't eventually have results. But, you know, I'm too much of a competitor to just, you know, be okay with mediocrity. And so I think that, you know, this is just a stepping point that I'm sure you're going to see in performance in the last part of this year and then into the next year, because, you know, what the media doesn't see is the work that he's putting in behind the scenes to be a better race car driver. It just takes time to apply it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Denny, it's a two-part question. As soon as the race went red and it was raining, the internet kind of blew up with a lot of negative things being said about Bubba and about the race being fixed. I'm wondering, number one, how you think he handles that. And number two, winning here at Alabama, which is, you know, not only technically his birth state, but where, you know, he had a bad year last year in terms of the social justice stuff. I'm wondering how you think all this means to him.
Well, I mean, we talked about, and he got off social media for a while, and I think that was the best decision ever, because, you know, ultimately I get hate tweets as well because I hired him. Like, those people just need to grow up, honestly, and, you know, appreciate, you know, the accomplishment that the kid just had. He drove it to the front and the caution came out. So there's not much else you can do. I was busy trying to push the 20 cars as hard as I could to keep him up front. And he just played the lines just right and got around us there. And obviously, you know, got the win. It's still pouring here. So, you know, it's just, I think people just have a microscope on him because they want to be critical. And they just, you know, just are a hater. And that's all you can really say about it is that, you know, I try to say to him that, like, don't get your motivation trying to prove haters wrong. Instead, get your motivation from trying to do the people that support you, do them proud. Like, that's where the motivation is going to come from, is the people that are going to support you through the good times and the bad times. You know, I'm sure today is a big day for them because, you know, when they wear their Bubba Wallace shirt, they know that, hey, I'm putting myself out there, right? And so those people deserve a great day today.
How do you answer people who say that a race is fixed?
It's silly. I spend way too much money and these teams spend way too much money to fix it. I'm not sure how you fix it. And it's just anytime there's unique circumstances, it's always fixed. That's just everyone's answer, right? When a team is close to covering a football game and they fumble on the 1 yard line, it's fixed, right? It's just someone that, you know, is having a bad day.
Thanks, Denny. Congratulations.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, gentlemen. Booty, 4 years on the sidelines, man, and they call you back into the battle. And here you are, race 484th of your career, and you finally win.
Yeah, it's a little sketchy.
Yeah, you got me.
I mean,
there he is.
Okay, you got me now.
Did you hear, Booty?
Yeah, I hear you. Got me?
Yes. Did you hear my question?
Yeah. I mean, it's great. You know, when Denny spoke to me, I was excited. I told him, I mean, I'm a competitor. I've always been a competitor. And I knew the resources. I knew the team we had. And I knew the people we had. I know the resources we had. And I know the leadership that Denny provided. I knew what we were capable of. So I was really excited about getting, another opportunity. But I didn't plan on it this way. I just planned on doing a good job and whatever my role was. It takes a lot of things to win a race. It's a million ways to lose one, and it's one way to win one, you know? So it's, I mean, I don't look at it I did what I had to do to get this far. So I appreciate what Denny, you know, Denny giving me the show.
Appreciate your time. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Todd Palmer. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, this is for Denny. Denny, I just wanted to know if you could, you know, kind of describe what the difference is to win as an owner, since this is your first time doing that, as compared to a driver.
It's like watching your kid succeed at whatever they're doing, whether it be baseball or musical theater or just whatever, right? I mean, I have no relation to anyone on this team, but they are family. So, we spend a lot of time together. We work hard together. I know the people within the shop work very, very hard. They had to work their tails off to get this team off the ground, you know, just 10, 12 months ago. So, you know, I can understand and I appreciate this win more as a car owner, because I know how hard the last 10 to 12 months have been putting this thing together and trying to take it up, you know, to NASCAR's highest level, which is not easy, obviously. So, we're still, again, in the building stages. We're still in the growing stages of our team. But this is just a huge morale boost. It's a huge confidence boost for Bubba. There's a lot of positives that come out of this that will linger for a very long time.
All right. And Denny, I'm going to ask you a question here from Jerry Jordan. Denny, right now, everyone is focused on the win from Bubba and what an awesome accomplishment that is. But you and Michael Jordan have invested heavily in this team. So what will that mean when the dust settles and you get back to the shop?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I talked to Michael and he's as excited as I am. And even though I probably do most of the work on the ownership side, he's emotionally invested in this team as much as I am. I mean, you know, this would not be possible without him. This would not be possible without the support of Toyota. There's just so many different people that said, okay, you want to do this? All right, we're going to stand behind you. And that to me is what makes it so gratifying, is that when you have crazy dreams and you want to build something, that you have people that believe in your vision. And, you know, these team guys, I mean, they work hard for me and Michael every single day. I mean, they, you know, Booty's been part of this race team from the very beginning, working this shop. You know, it's great that these guys get to enjoy a victory. And I hope that they spend this next week or whatever, just really soaking it in and enjoying it and celebrating.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Alex Andrejev. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey there. This is actually a question for Booty first. I'm wondering if, I'm wondering if you could just sort of replay the finish of that race. And obviously everyone was sort of looking for this rain delay and weather was a factor, but were you just saying like, hey, Bubba, get to the front there as quickly as possible? Like what were you sort of telling him as this race played out?
Well, we had an awareness of course, weather. It looked like it was going, it was potential weather about halfway. So we had, when that didn't pan out, then I came and we got four tires. We got four tires, and then I told him it was a certain point. I said, look, we need to get this far, you know, this many laps in, and then I'm going to turn you loose, you know, and that's pretty much what I said. I said, okay, you've done what I asked you to do. You've been smart. Now go after it, you know, and that's when he flew, you know, so it worked out. And he and Freddie have a great relationship, and Freddie did to win these races like that, not only does Bubba have to make all the right moves, but the spotter's huge too, you know, so he and Freddie both, they turned it up a notch, and that's what you got to have, you know, and so everything kind of went to plan, you know, we knew when I said go, they went. So it worked out nice.
And I'm hoping you can just give kind of like a review so far of, you know, you're still relatively new to this role, but what has it been like working as Bubba's crew chief, you know, early in this season, I guess?
Well, Bubba and I were friends. So, I mean, we got along already before this, you know, and it's just, I've never had this many resources. You know, with Denny and all of the Denny and Michael, just from the top down, never had this many resources. And so Bubba and I just needed to, my main focus was to make sure the team, I guess the strength of the team was brought to bear. In other words, I didn't do anything to inhibit us, make no mistakes, put us in position to succeed. It's been my main focus because I know Bubba could get it done. And I knew we had the stuff and the people to support him to knock it out. You know, it's just not saying it was anybody's fault per se, but I, you know, we had had troubles early in the year, fluke things, whatever. It's just been my focus always with him and us to just don't beat ourselves, you know.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are actually going to have to cut Denny Hamlin loose here as he takes over some other team owner obligations. So Denny, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the victory, and we look forward to seeing you next week at the Roval.
Thank you. Cheers.
All righty. And to all of the media, we will be joined here momentarily by Bubba Wallace as well, our race winner. But if we'd like to continue some questions with our race winning crew chief, we will head to.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. As good as it gets.
That was awesome.
I was hoping to see you, man. We'll be talking this week, sir.
All right.
All right. And Steve in Toronto, was your question for Booty? So go ahead.
Yes, it was for Booty. Booty, it's been almost 20 years since you were last in victory lane. You won, I think, four races with Scott Wimmer in the Busch Series in 2002. It's been a long road since then. You've spent years at the Cup level, a bunch of different drivers, never managed to visit victory lane, and you were out of your role for a while. You know, was there, just from a crew chief standpoint, as technology advances in the sport, was there any point where you started saying, man, can I still do this? Can I still crew chief a race winning car? And how validating is it to be able to finally, after all this time, get a win at this level?
No, because see, I work as an engineer and I shop now. So, I mean, as far as all of my jobs and everything else from a technical standpoint, I'm not trying to be sound arrogant at all. I hadn't fallen behind at all because that's what my job is or was, you know. And as far as the crew chief aspect, I mean, I feel like that's kind of what I do best. I'm not saying I'm doing good at it, but it is what I do best. I feel like it's what I enjoy the most, you know, working with all the guys and you know, just. I think it's what I belong to be doing, but I said it before, I've never been with a team, and this is no disparagement to any of the teams I've been with before, but I've never been with a team or been in this position as a crew chief with this many resources behind me. So that's a huge factor as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wasn't trying to suggest anything in terms of that you had fallen behind. I was trying to find the words to put into context what this was. So,
no, you know, and you didn't. You didn't. It's just, and you know, I'll say this. I didn't let the losses define me. I'm not likely going to let this win define me. I felt I was good before. I feel like I'm good now. But I think you got to work. I think the competition is excellent. You got to have so much support. You got to have everything right to do it. You know, it's not a one person thing, you know? So, I'm fortunate though. Very fortunate to be in this position.
Excellent. Congratulations, Booty. Enjoy this one.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next one from Kyle Dalton. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Booty. Congratulations. So just in listening to you over the last 3 weeks over the radio, you are just this positive, uplifting kind of personality. And we heard through the broadcast and we've heard in the past that that's really something that Bubba has really relished and he's really gotten along with you. So can you just talk to me about the chemistry between the two of you? Because it just seems like he's really been lifted up since you've come on board as the crew chief.
Well, I mean, the way I look at things is we're in the peak series of racing, you know, and we really have, I say it sometimes, I was like, boys, we got cake. What I mean by that is we got it good. So that it's not like something I don't have to really generate a false positive. I mean, I feel positive. I feel like we got a great shot. I really enjoy the people I work with. I enjoy the situation I'm in. I enjoy working with Bubba. I feel like he has a lot of upside, a lot of potential. So I don't think it comes across as disingenuous, because it's not. You know, how I come across is how I feel. So I'm happy for him too, though. I want to say that I'm more happy for Bubba than anybody. So that's great.
Congratulations, Booty.
Thank you.
All right, Booty. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Congratulations, and we will let you go take care of some other obligations.
Yeah, I got to go back to my car. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you, pal.
All right.
And we will be joined here momentarily by our race winner. So if you know you're going to have a question, Bubba Wall, please raise your hand and get in the queue. And as soon as he joins us, we will get started.
Yeah,
we're good.
Man, what am I doing here?
Sit down in the chair.
I knew that.
Can I stay in here?
Okay. Oh, this is all the media. Yeah. Okay. Marissa, can you hear us?
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Hey, Bubba, thank you for taking some time to join. You know, it's been a wild couple hours, but congratulations on the victory. We'll get right into questions here for Bubba, and we will kick things off with Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Bubba, all the things you ever hear is, oh, he hasn't won, he hasn't won, he hasn't won. Now that you've won, what does it say about you as a race car driver, and what will it say about you as far as having a voice for change?
Yeah, you know, I was one of those people that was telling myself that I haven't won. And, you know, it's tough to kind of get out of that mentality. It's like, man, you just want to go out and compete and win. And it just so happened today. And so I know now it's, well, he's got to win because it rained. Well, everybody knew it was going to rain. We were able to make a move there to keep us out front, and the caution felt the right time. So, just appreciate everybody that's been in my camp to help me stay focused on the things that matter and eliminate the BS that I have to deal with on a daily basis. Because it's the moments like this to where I can go back and thank them and appreciate them, because we're here, we're a winner, got some credibility to my name now. But we'll just go out and, you know, we know how the sport works. You know, we go back to work. Oh, everybody's back at work today, race on a Monday, but we go back to work tomorrow and get focused on Roval.
And Blaney said that, you know, what you've had to go through would hurt, the things you hear would hurt anybody, you know, that you're human. How have you dealt with that?
You know, some sleepless nights, talking to professionals to help me stay focused on the task at hand. You know, really listening to my family, Amanda being there, pushing me. You know, I go into some of these races and I just have a negative attitude, and, you know, she rips me an ass to, you know, get in shape and to show up with some, you know, positivity. And so I appreciate her. I hate that she couldn't be here. She had to fly back home for work last night. But it's just, you know, my family pushing me and knowing that, you know, as I'm being the realistic, sometimes pessimistic person, they hold the optimism for me and, you know, allow me to keep showing up back to the racetrack with a good mindset.
Have you talked to Amanda or your mom yet?
Yeah, I called them both as we were walking to Victory Lane.
All right, we're going to take our next question from JB Ricks. Go ahead, JB.
Hey, Bubba, JB Ricks here from Spectrum News One. Congratulations, and thank you for taking out this time. You have already been kind of catapulted into an ambassador role when it comes to bridging the gap with the African-American community and NASCAR. And now that you have your first win under your belt, how much do you think that will help bridge that gap even more and make this sport well known for the African-American community?
You know, I'm just going to go out and keep doing what I got to do. I know that sounds like the typical athlete answer, but, you know, for me and people that know me in my camp, you know, I want to just go out and compete and win races and be here talking to you like this. So what allows me to do that is just focusing on the task at hand, which is the race at that time, let everything else settle in place. And that's how I continue to kind of go about it. Yeah, we'll talk about it post-race, but, you know, as it's leading up to it and in the moment, you know, I'm just going out to win races and put on the best show that I can to show, like, hey, you know, be a part of this sport. Come, or either be at the track or sit on the couch, have a party, watch it at home, whatever it may be. Just tune in, because you never know what could happen. You can be enjoying moments like this.
Thank you, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Bubba, just in the moment you got to talk with your mom, what did you share with her? What has it meant to have this journey with her and to be able to share this experience, even though not in person, but from afar?
Yeah, there's a lot of tears, so it's kind of hard to understand her. But, you know, we're both crying on the phone, happy and just excited. You know, she's the number one person that knows how hard I am on myself. Each and every weekend, each and every day. And she's always sending me positive encouragement, scriptures, and just always just holding that positive light. Even though she knows it could be, you know, no good outcome, she's always there for that support system. And love her so much for that. You know, she has started a new life for her. She moved to Atlanta, so she wasn't far away, but she wasn't here at the race. She lives in Atlanta now with her husband, George. So I know they had a lot of people watching back at home. So I just appreciate the support. It's been pretty cool just to see. I've yet to see my phone. I'm sure I got a lot more reaching out.
And certainly anything that you do is of a historic proportion. To do something that hadn't been done since Wendell Scott, from the historical perspective, what is that like? What does that mean? What is that feeling like, along with your personal satisfaction, just accomplishing what you did for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm selfish and I'm just like, finally, I'm a winner again. It's been 4 years, Michigan Truck Race, and I'm a winner, and I'm a winner at the cup level. So it's, hell yeah, that's what I'm saying. But then you think about everything else that follows suit with the history being made. And, you know, there's a lot of firsts today within our team, within our organization. And so this is really a huge team effort. I'm so proud of everybody for continuing to just stick with it. You know, it's been a lot of up and down races, a lot of frustration, a lot of shouting matches, but, you know, we always regroup and come back and rally for when the green flag falls on Sunday, or whether it's a Monday like today, and we go out and compete and we put everything else aside and we know what we have to focus on. And, you know, we continue to build this organization up. I got Kurt coming over next year. You know, he's one of the drivers that came up went during the rain delay there. And, you know, I appreciate him, his optimism, his wisdom. But we just got to keep going. I got to go out to the Roval, my best track, next week, but just go out and have some fun. You know, this win didn't put us in the playoffs or anything, but, you know, there was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. I told Claire earlier, if I'm taken out, you know, walking out of this room, hey, I went out as a winner, so I'm good.
And one last thing is certainly the challenge you faced those last few laps. You had Brad Keselowski, one of the best drivers on this type of racing, all over you, making all sorts of moves. How tough were those last few laps, just trying to maintain your position, because it looked like he was throwing haymakers at you?
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, you never count out the Penske cars. And, you know, it's something that we talk about them at our Monday, Tuesday meetings. It's like, hey, those guys make it work. There's a reason why they win the races. And so knowing that we had to defend them, Freddie did a hell of a job on top of the roof. I'm so proud of him. Week in and week out, he's always getting better and pushing me to be better. But we just made the right moves and it worked out.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Baba, congratulations.
Thank you.
Apologies, I got a couple questions. TV said this, you didn't say this. They said that Talladega last year was a real low point for you. Is that accurate?
I wouldn't say it was a low point. I've had some low points in my life, and that wasn't the same feeling. This was just a hurdle that we needed to climb over.
And so how do you feel when you come to Talladega? Is it just another racetrack to you, or is there lingering issues?
No, for me, it's easy for me to, you know, obviously I still remember, you know, to the day. It's funny. I was sitting in the bus, you know, after they called it yesterday. And I was close to texting Steve Phelps saying, I don't want a phone call. You know, because it was just basically the same thing that happened, you know, rain delay, called the race, going to race on Monday. And it's just like, man, this is, you know, deja vu. I didn't text him or anything, but, you know, you think about those things when you come to this place, but, you know, for some reason I had a feeling that we were going to win. This was on Friday. I was like, you know, we're going to go win. Amanda said we were going to win. I had a buddy of mine, Mamba. I told him, you know, I'm going to go out and win. So I got it documented.
Where did you get that confidence from that you were going to win this weekend?
You know, I was sitting there and, you know, being a part of this 2311 deal, they are so big on preparation, and Denny is big on, you know, leading up to the days before the race, making sure you're doing your homework, doing your debriefs. And I was sitting there reading over our notes and looking at our previous race here in the spring. And I was like, man, our first stage average was pretty damn good. I think we were like fourth on average. And then after that, we were like 15th to 20th, second and third stage. And we ended up, I think, 18th or so. And it made me think about Daytona. We led some races to Daytona in the spring, or even at the 500. We lead some races early on, and then we kind of just survive and get a good finish. And you always talk about the good plate racers. Like, these guys are great at plate racing. The Penske cars, Denny's really good. And, you know, it's like, damn, I'm good at getting good finishes, but I don't consider myself as a good plate racer. And so I was like, you know, let's spice things up. Let's turn it up a notch and try to become a pretty damn good plate racer today.
My last question for you is, as you can expect, as soon as the race was called, social media started lighting up. They said the race was fixed, things like that. I asked Denny about it, and he said that he had encouraged you to get off of social media, and he thought that it helped. Did you get off social media, and how did that help you?
Yeah, I've been off my main pages for a handful of months now, and it's helped out a ton. You know, for me, I would go and read the comments, and, you know, after a bad race, I would become one of those haters that doesn't know anything, but I would become one of them and just start, you know, telling myself a bunch of dark thoughts, and it never helped anything. So I said for good to get off the main pages there, go out and enjoy life. You know, don't let, you know, people like that. It doesn't matter. I know I learned in high school, I was always worried about what other people thought of me. And I finally let that go once I kind of graduated and kind of matured a little bit more. I'm not going to be able to please everybody. And it doesn't matter if I won by 1,000 laps or won a rain short race. No one, not everybody is going to be happy with it. And that's okay, because I know one person who is happy, and that's me, because I'm a winner. They're not.
Thanks, Bubba. Make sure Blaney throws you a big party tonight.
Oh, no doubt.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Thanks, Bubba, for your time. As you're standing on pit road and it's raining, what is going through you? What are you feeling?
The realistic side, I was just saying, like, hey, we still got 71 laps left. So if they don't call it, then, you know, obviously it wasn't meant to be one like this, but just make sure your ass is there leading that last lap if we do go the full distance. So, you know, you had the cameras there building up the hype, but honestly, I was just like, it ain't over till it's over. So I wasn't too excited.
But then you walk down to your pit crew, you sit on top of the pit box, it's raining still, it's lightning. I mean, it's kind of getting to that point, you know, feel like it's going to be canceled. What are you feeling then? And then the emotion when it hit you that this was official.
Yeah. Walking back to the pit box, you know, we were told that lightning, we're on a lightning hold now. So I knew that was another 30 minutes. So it was like another notch of the anticipation kind of raised there, but it's still like, all right, there's still some time that we can, you know, get this race in. Well, then it stopped raining. We were on top of the box. Obviously the jets are going around, and we were sitting there talking on top of the box of just, and we just need one rain shower and it'll call it. And then you had so many cool fans behind the box, just shouting rain, it's gonna rain, pray for rain. And then you start to see some sprinkles, and it's like, all right, that's a little bit. And then it started getting heavier and heavier, and my spotter, or my engineer JR, had a NASCAR scanner in his ear, and we'll be sure to post that video. Might have to bleep out a couple words, but you see our reaction on top of the boxes. He's like, oh wait, what? And then he's like, they just called it, it's official. So just going from we're gonna go back to racing to no, we're not, we're winners was like a roller coaster for sure. So really cool.
Last one for me, and you kind of mentioned it, was the fans behind the pit box. They were quite vocal in their support for you. What was that like, that interaction?
No, it's super cool. You know, it's definitely been tough going to the track, some of these tracks this year. You know, you get some of the most boos now. And obviously, you know, everybody says, you know, as long as they're making noise, it's fine. But, you know, I get booed for different reasons, and that's the tough thing to swallow. So, you know, that's why Beats came on board at the perfect time. So I just block out the BS and turn on some heavy music and enjoy it. So I don't really hear that, but I know it's there. But, you know, standing out there on the grid, waiting on the rain delay, hearing people shout your name, it's like, man, those boos are quiet. You know, you still heard one or two, but you heard a lot of people in your camp pulling for you and supporting you. So I appreciate all those that were there doing the rain dance with us, pulling for us, and just support all career long for me. But especially, you know, everything that's gone on in the last 15, 16 months, the people that have stuck with me and know the real side of things, it's definitely appreciated. So thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Alex Andreev. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Bubba. You may have kind of already answered some of these, but I just wanted to follow up on a couple. But, you know, I saw you talking on the phone on the broadcast afterwards, so I don't know whether you were talking to Amanda or your mom, or if you've spoken both. To MJ yet. Okay.
I haven't spoken to MJ. I left my phone in the bus before the race, And so I have yet to see my phone, but I'm sure I got one or two text messages and one or two phone calls, probably a couple emails. Just excited to get back and celebrate and just be able to just, you know, breathe for a second. I'm enjoying the moment right now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not overworked up. I remember my first win at Martinsville. I was like a kid in a candy store. But this one is just, you know, obviously I think I've matured enough. But just appreciate everybody that is in my camp and in my corner, from fans, family, friends. You know, that means more than the race win. Is just knowing that I have that support system. It carries a lot more weight.
And that was actually kind of my follow-up question too, was that there's a lot of people that know what you went through last season, and having that fan support, I was just curious if there was any message, I guess, for fans, especially your younger fans that might be watching you achieve this today.
Yeah, I think, you know, I said there on TV, you're going to go through a lot of BS when you want to stand up for what's right and be yourself and encourage others to do the same. So just be ready for that. Don't let anybody else tell you can't do something that you are so passionate about. And just always stay true to your craft. You know, I support the next generation coming up through. You know, the sport is tough, so I'm going to give it everything I got to keep you from beating me. But, you know, if you are passionate about being where you want to be and inside the sport, then be a part of it. Stay true to it. Never give up. And just keep pushing.
Thank you. Congrats.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to take our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congratulations, Bubba. This is kind of related to what you were talking about with Jenna. I asked Denny about your super speedway racing development, and regardless of how this race ended today with the rain, you obviously were in the mix for the win, as you have been many times in these type of races. But he mentioned that he had really seen a change in how you did these kind of work these races between the Daytona 500 and first Talladega race this year, and then what you did at the second Daytona race and in this race. And how far leaps and bounds he said you had come. I just wondered if you could touch on that a little bit. Do you feel you've changed your approach at all much to these types of races and how it has worked out for you?
Yeah, I definitely have. And I think, you know, we kind of started a good plate run, even driving the 43 last year. We put together some good races, and I've crashed out a lot, whether it's my fault or not. But we always, like I said earlier, we always seem to get a good finish. We at Daytona a month ago, we were running 13th down the backstretch and looked like we were going to finish there, and they all wadded up and we finished second. And so it's like, you know, that still wasn't a good race for me. It's like, I go back and look at, you know, what we could have done different to be inside the top five. Will we have gotten wrecked? Yeah. But at least we were kind of in contention instead of just riding around 13th. And so I just told Freddie to let's turn the wick up just a little bit. You know, I don't want to change a damn thing that we've been doing, because we've been getting good finishes. That's what it ultimately comes down to, is getting a good finish. Doesn't matter how you get it, but let's get some more respect on the plate tracks and become one of those good plate racers.
And do you feel that your performance on the plate races, obviously a lot of times you have to have good relations. I mean, you need to count on other people around you. Do you feel you've developed a good reputation and how you race that you can race up front with the other guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think this definitely gives some credibility to my name. I don't know what was on my back bumper my first 3 years in the Cup Series, because everybody was leaving the 43 out to dry, and I'd be going to the front, and then the next thing you know, we'd go to the back because everybody left us hanging. And so I guess whatever that message was, encrypted code on the back, is gone now, because we get some help. And you know, I think we're one of the talked about cars. I feel like our Toyotas are really strong. So everybody back at the shop, 2311, is doing a really good job. Toyota is doing a really good job with what we need at these plate tracks to keep us up front and to become a good plate racer.
Last question. It's been a long time since McDonald's has been in Victory Lane. I just wondered what you thought about having the opportunity to bring that longtime NASCAR sponsor back into Victory Lane.
I hope they do more now. You know, I appreciate McDonald's. They've been a part of my career for 2 or 3 years now, even a part of the 43. And so really appreciate them sticking with it, sticking with me, continuing to help me, you know, push myself to be better and to get them to Victory Lane. I think it's been since the 90s, if I'm correct. It's It's been a long time. So congrats to them. I know I'll be getting a 10-piece meal with a large fry and a large Dr. Pepper when I leave this place.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next one from Alan Cavana. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Bubba, congratulations.
Hey,
I wanted to ask you just the specific moves, because you were talking about, you know, how you got to the front. You threw a huge block on Brad that was very effective, and then you didn't move up and block the 22, which would have got you off the bottom. Just the thought process going through your head, what you were hearing, because those proved to be two very crucial moves and two different decisions on your part.
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, trust in what Freddie says. You know, he's telling me where the energy's coming from, whether it's the bottom lane or the middle lane there. And I had seen Brad come down and get behind me, so I knew we had a good pusher, but you never count out the 22. And I seen him coming through the middle, but also seen the 37. I didn't know what car it was at the time, but I seen a car shoot out to the right. So I'm like, hey, we're in position here. The caution's going to come out. We'll be fine. But you just try to do your best at controlling your destiny. And I remember 2011, a driver told me that on the grid at New Hampshire. It was Kyle Busch. He said, control your own destiny. And I didn't know what the hell that meant at the time. But I was just pumped to be talking to Kyle. but it comes down to these plate races. You're controlling your own destiny. You know, there's a lot of teamwork out there that you could go by. And a lot of team orders, but at the end of the day, you're controlling your own destiny. You're trying to do the best that you can for your team, your sponsors, to put yourselves in moments like this.
Hey, congratulations. You got a shout out from Vol Football. So enjoy that.
Heck yeah. How about that big win?
62 points.
Woo! Let's go.
See you, man.
All right. And the next question I'm actually going to read to you from Rob Tiongson. As a graduate of the Drive for Diversity program, how special is it to represent them with this win while inspiring others who are pursuing their dreams in motorsports?
And it's really cool. It's ironic. I was sitting in the bus bored last night, playing a little bit of PlayStation, and I got bored of that. And I was like, well, what's on TV? Watched a little bit of the football game, Patriots and Buccaneers. But then the Arc Menards race was on from Salem. And I had already knew that Raja had finished third. But I was sitting there watching him. I was like, damn, it's a really good run for him. So I was proud of him. I need to shoot him a message. But it was just ironic how I was watching him, got pumped up for how well he ran there, and then able to win the day. So do I give him some credit for bringing some good mojo? If that makes him feel better, I'll give him some. But, man, the diversity program is continuing to shine. And I still continue to say that without that deal back in 2010, 2011, I don't know if I'd be here. I don't know if I would ever been in the top three levels of our sport without that deal. So just got to keep on going and continue to watch the talent come up through.
All right. We're going to take our next one from Todd Palmer. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Bubba, congratulations. I was curious, for starters, who did you look up to as a race fan and what do you think it means to see a black driver in victory lane in the NASCAR Cup Series?
Yeah. And not in a negative way, but I didn't look up to anybody. I just found some people that I like cheering for, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to, you know, try to be like them. It's not possible because we're all different and we all have our own little quirks about us that make us different. And so, you know, I just had people that I respected in the garage and would talk to kind of gain some insight and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you go out and do your own thing and what do you think's best for you? And so I didn't look up to anybody. We just went to race and have fun, get checkered flags and cash some of those big old checks back in the day, get some trophies, and that was it.
And what do you think it means to have a driver with your background in victory lane?
It means a lot. I think about the next generation that's looking, that wants to be a part of the sport. You know, I think this gives them a little bit more motivation, a little bit more fuel in the tank. And it's important for that because, you know, we look at our demographic of our sport and we want it to change so desperately. And with everything that's gone on in the last 16 months, you know, we are trending upwards, but we still have a lot of work to do. So I know the biggest work that can be done is on the racetrack, and we were able to accomplish that today.
That leads me to my last question. In talking to people who've been in a situation like you are, where you're kind of a trailblazer, you're the first of your generation to do something, I've heard that there can be a lot of pressure to be perfect. You feel like you have to do it better. You know, you have less margin for error because you have so many eyeballs on you. Have you felt that? Has any of that ever fed into some of the depression you've talked about in the past? And does today provide a measure of affirmation and or vindication for you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you go winless for 4 years, you know, for me, I'm so hard on myself, and I'm always, you know, just pessimistic about, you know, why we ran like this and why we ran like that. And it sends you down a dark path. And so I am my own worst critic. And that's 100% true when people say that. And, you know, today I'm like, hell yeah, we got to win. But then I'm like, hey, you only got to win because it rained. So I still can't let myself just enjoy it fully. I think that's why I'm so competitive, because I just continue to push myself. And some people find it annoying and not very helpful, but you know, that's just kind of how I work. I'm very sarcastic. I'm very hard on myself, but I want to win. I want to be competitive. I want to be one of the greats inside the sport. I know there's a lot of work to be done, but it starts with getting your first out of the way, and we were able to do that.
All right, take our next one from Jack Johnson. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, hey, Bubba, congratulations. In the early part of the last decade, you and Kyle Larson were both developmental superstars. Then over the course of the trajectory of your career, his took off a little bit quicker. Then with everything that happened last year and the different trajectories your careers took, from where you were at Talladega at this time last season to the moment that you had today, what do you think about the paths that they've gone together? They've separated, then they've kind of intertwined again, both in from the drive from diversity into where you are now, both Cup Series winners.
Yeah, man, I was jealous of Larson back when we raced against each other in the K&N days. You know, he was driving the six car, I believe. That's what I was driving. And they won championship. And him and I had a run in it at Rockingham. He had blocked me like twice, and I had had enough of it, and I shipped him. And they went on to win the championship. But for a long time, you know, him and I, we didn't really talk much. And he thought I was like, thought I hated him, or he may have hated me. I don't know. We were always super respectful of each other. But then we raced against each other in the truck stuff, beat him at Eldora, beat him at Homestead. And so I've always been a huge fan because, and I've always said that he was probably the most talented one in our garage, just be able to go from different backgrounds from the dirt world to the asphalt world and continue to dominate. You know, I thought that spoke volumes to his character and his craft. And so it's always been fun to watch him, no matter what he's driving. And so, you know, with everything that went on last year with him, you know, I could have, you know, went a different route, but being able to talk to him and hear the sympathy in his voice and go through all that, I knew deep down he has a good heart. And so to get him back in the sport, he's kicking everybody's tail this year. You know, it was cool to congratulate him for his first win back at Vegas. And it was pretty damn cool. He walked into Victory Lane here after he had wrecked out or whatever. I don't know where he finished up, but I know he had a rough day, but he took time to come over here and congratulate me for my first win. So that's just the respect level that we have for each other. So it means a lot, and proud of him. Continue to race it on out.
Thanks, Bubba.
All right, we'll take our next one from Courtney Horn. Go ahead, Courtney.
I have two questions. And my first is, how does it feel to get your first win at can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My first is, how does it feel to get your first win at Talladega, your home track?
Oh, it's super special. With everything that's going on, it's fitting that we got our first win here. It's a plate race, you know, one of these wild card races. You never know what's going to happen. We're able to capitalize on the opportunity.
And my second is, what does it feel like to be a role model to kids to look up to you?
Yeah, it's super special, you know, for me to go out and compete and do what I love to do and go out and win some races, make our sponsors happy, make our team happy. But knowing that we have a whole fan base back home watching on TV, or whether it's at the track, wherever they are, they're supporting me, and having some kids that want to be in my shoes one day is really cool. It's tough. It's very tough to get to where we're at, but just stick with it and you'll be here one day.
Thank you.
All right, Bubba, thank you so much for taking some time with us. We do have a lot more work to do tonight. So congratulations on the victory. We look forward to many more, and congratulations again.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. And to all the media, I know there were a couple other hands up. I apologize if we could not get to you, but just a lot of questions for Bubba and not enough Bubba. So thank you guys so much. As a reminder, we will have all the audio and video as well as transcripts and photos available on NASCARmedia.com. And we look forward to seeing availabilities this week. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Marissa.
Thank you very much, Marissa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa.